Since some people like to put titles, I chose one title for this talk, and the title is Wild. Wild? Is it right, or Wild? I had a few times this word today, so... So, you say like wild, like we say like tame, no? And wild? Okay. Wild. I was reading last summer, after having been in Yellowstone, this amazing national park in the United States with Jaya and her family. I was reading this one book written by a woman who devoted 10 years of her life, to bring back the woods in Yellowstone. So this woman, through the book, speaks about all the details of how everything happened, but what is more beautiful or more amazing of the book is that actually she speaks a lot of this wildness in us, and how this wildness in us is so amazing, so wild, that somehow seems like we spend our lives trying to tame it, trying to make it not that wild. So that the whole time when she speaks about all the difficulties that she had to go through, which were many, 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 basically she was speaking about dealing with this human fear of being in touch with the wild. So she is not directly blaming the, for example, the people, how you say, who go with guns and... Okay, one person?
Hunters.
So, she was not blaming the hunters, even though, like, with all her heart, like, she really was feeling, like, very, very, very strongly for the wolves. So, even though it was really, really hard for her to see wolves that were killed by hunters, so, let's say by someone, like, someone is behind that death, so it would be easy to blame. Throughout all the book, she again and again points this human, let's say, inability to stand the wildness. So she speaks about these hunters, not as if they are doing something terrible, but actually that they are not able to be in touch with this wildness, and therefore they have to kill what is wild. It's too threatening for them to see what is wild and to know that that is also in them. So in the same way, we are these hunters the whole time trying to tame, to put barriers to that which is wild, which is unknown in us. And it feels that there is something very beautiful about this word, wild. And it feels that has really a lot to do with the way we are, our essence. So I wonder how it would be these days just to be wild. What that means to be wild, to allow ourselves to be fully what we are, without having to cut anything out, without having to put aside what is unknown, what is too much, what we cannot handle. Or in other words, if we can be in touch with the fullness of our potential, without having to cultivate a straight line kind of garden, you know. Here the potatoes, here the lettuce, here the tomatoes, you know. Like, is it possible to just allow this, you know, rainforest to be in us, like totally crazy, and at the same time with a sense of amazing, perfect, you know, perfectness, sense of beingness in this too much, in this abundance. These days we have been speaking, as Jaya says, a lot. Really, a lot. He says it better, but something like that. About this whole, seems like, dilemma of the retreat. Shall we sit? Shall we lie down? The big question of life. And as we have, like, interview after interview with this big question of life, I decided to just say, like, you know, do what you want, you know. So it feels that it's somehow too simplistic to say sitting posture means effort, means pushing, and lying down means relaxation, means allowing or letting be. And then what I feel and what I hear somehow is that that becomes as if we are saying the whole time, do nothing. And I mean, maybe you have some kind of hearing problems, but like, but so far I really didn't hear like anyone saying like, just do nothing, like sit in the sofa, eat potato chips, and like just watch the TV, you know. Like, so far I didn't hear any, you know, one saying this here. So what would be a way that we can speak about this relaxation and at the same time speak about effort? Or in other words, how could we get to this sense of connected effort? What would be connected effort? What is that? Because even though we say relax, relax, it does feel, and in my own experience, it is like this, that actually there is a lot of a lot of it's a long joke. Then we laugh because then there is this town in Spain that we pass through every summer that is called Olot, but because, you know, like if you read a lot, so then we have been laughing all the time saying a lot and like this, so. So it does feel in my experience, and also what I see in people who really devote their lives to life, basically, is that it's really a lot of effort, like really a lot of effort is needed. But what is this effort, which is not pushing effort, which is not just force, which is the effort, the kind of effort that we are used to. We understand effort as force. So what would be a way that is effort without force, a connected effort, or an effort that comes from the lower belly, let's say, or from the heart. So a lot of clear determination is needed. Even sometimes intensity is needed. A whole area, a huge area to investigate what is the right effort and what that means. And just feeling that that doesn't end at all in sitting or lying down dilemma. But what do I do? What is my intention? What is my, yeah, basically my intention when I sit? When is my intent? What is my intention when I lie down? In which quality I am there? The quality seems it has something to do. Also another image that comes to mind, which is the image of a tree. The tree has these two movements, let's say. One is the movement of the rooting down, which, let's say, like the effort, the connected effort, rooting down. And then there is the help, or the pulling up of the light. The light is pulling up the tree. The tree is rooting down the earth. So maybe something about this effort of rooting down the earth and at the same time being open to this light to pull us. Something else comes into the situation and pulls us. So how do we give space to that? How do we open to that? Our connectedness and the life bringing us to life. It has to do also with this sentence that we say sometimes, be yourself. And to me, every time that I hear this sentence, it almost seems like a joke. It seems so simple, be yourself. But what that means, be yourself. And more it feels that the more we go into this be yourself and investigation of what means to be myself, it feels that hundreds of universes open every time. So if what we know of ourselves is what is old, like our description of ourselves, and we are not asking for that, then what is which is new and open? What is this which is wild and open and centered at the same time? That basically we have no clue, because we cannot answer from the old, and somehow we don't yet know the new. So what is this? What means to be myself if I cannot reach what is new and I cannot refer to what is old? What is this myself which is not separated, which doesn't need boundaries, which basically doesn't know about fear? What is this? Is it possible? Nothing. Is it possible to fully be without having to make sure that I am? Without having to raise a flag and say, I am. Without having to others shut down so that I can speak. Image of the tree rooting down the light pulling up. And in the same way, this image of being myself without boundaries, it seems that there is a lot that life can say to us, let's say. Or let's say, like, since we are not a closed down ball, a ball separated, there is a lot of interaction that enriches us. Or we could say, there is a lot of possibility for life to be in this ball, for life to pass through this ball and break the boundaries. This effort or non-effort, we speak about we wanting to get somewhere. And what about life wanting us to fully be? What about life asking us to fully be ourselves? So it's not only me wanting to live fully, but actually life wanting or asking each one of us to live fully. Are we ready to do this for life? The way that we see that the earth, the water, the air, the light, and everything is what makes the flower come, not only the tree stressing, like getting stressed, going up, but actually like everything is embracing this tree and making this flower possible. So why do we feel that our case is different? Why do we feel why do we feel that we have to walk against life? As if everything around us is a continuity of obstacles. And our business, and we are alone in our business, is to cross all these obstacles. Life is this life that doesn't love us. Which tree is this tree that is saying no to the rain, to the wind, to the light, to the earth? Everything loves us may sound scary. It actually sounds scary if we listen. How it would be just to experiment these days, since we don't have to meet our boss or speak with our parents or whatever is our fear. Why we don't experiment these days by letting everything love us and to see what happens if we are fully receptive to everything that is around. There is a sense of tiredness when we are forcing, when we are reaching out. And there is a sense of well-beingness or restfulness when we allow ourselves to sit back and receive. Some opening can happen in this receiving, some becoming. In us that is thirsty. Yes, we are thirsty for something. Urge, this questioning, this thirst in us. The thing is, in Buddhism, that they speak about three different ways to get in touch with life. One says, like, it can happen through wonder, just by the wonder of life, just by opening the eyes and seeing, like, all the mystery of life. The text says that if we actually open the eyes and see the mystery of life, if we see everything that surrounds us, that will make enough questions in us that will bring us to this urge, this thirst for discovering, for seeing clear what is all this about. Then they say, if this doesn't happen, if for some of us is not enough, just the fact that we are alive and that we open our eyes and there is all is mystery around us, and this doesn't is not enough spark for us to find out what is this, then the second way would be through suffering. And many of us know this way, luckily or unluckily. Many of us come to a point where we actually are able to see that we are suffering, which is already a good step. Instead of denying it, some of us actually discover that we are suffering. Or at least some of us guess that maybe there is another way for us. Maybe it's possible to live differently. Some of us have been in touch with death, for example, someone that we love dying. That is related to the second case that says through suffering, through seeing death, that has enough power to push us, to inspire us, to have this thirst to find out what is this life about, if I can die any second. And this seems a really powerful way also. They say the third way, if the mystery of life doesn't speak to you, is not inspiring enough to go and search, if suffering doesn't speak to you, is not inspiring enough to go and find something else, which is not suffering, then the third way would be to listen to a teacher, or to find a teacher that basically will tell you that is actually important, that you live fully your life. I'm moved by beauty, by mystery. How to become child again. It came yesterday. How to open again this possibility of wonder. Just walking around here, there are thousands of things that can awaken this sense of wonder that automatically points to something else, to a mystery, to something much huge than the specific that we see, that brings a question. If we are suffering, if our experience is heavy, then why not to just try to see, to connect what is behind this suffering? We can call it lack, this missing feeling. It feels that this just feeling of a hole inside somewhere also has a lot of power. And it doesn't need to be bad. It can just be a sweet way of being in touch with this lack, with this hole in us, and with the wish to be filled, to be fulfilled, to be full, to be fully what we are called to be. there is something important also about this following the discomfort. Usually we try to get rid of the discomfort. So what would be to try to follow the discomfort if this is our case? If there is this lack, this discomfort of being in this in-between, we have the intuition that another way of living is possible. That's why we are here. And then we have this discomfort of being moving, seeing clearly, and falling again into the patterns. I know many people came, you know, just to see what this is about. And I hope you have a good time here. And, you know. Actually, it feels that if in any second, like during these days, like, let's say you came here because you were curious about what is this about, what are these people doing, you know. But then if by accident you saw something else, like if by accident you fall something else, you fall into something else, you open up, you guess that there is a whole universe opened for you, offered to you, then I'm sorry to say that it's too late to believe that I can just forget about this retreat and go back home and keep on like doing whatever I was doing. So then, since I already said, and I hope you agree, that it's too late to go back if you have seen, and you have seen, then why not to follow this fire of the heart? To let the heart to be our fuel, you know, our batteries, what do you say? Fuel? My God, how different it sounds. Fuel. Why not? For some people it can seem like really heavy. I remember begging to my Zen master, like, please, let me forget about all of this and go back home. Actually, I got drunk. I just want my house, you know, my dog, and my little job. Please. And I remember her, like, you know, Zen master. You know. No, big, sweet woman, actually. Was like a mother for me. It's not, you know, it breaks all these Zen scary stories. But, yeah. So, I remember she looking at me and saying, there is no way back. You have to keep going. And then this sense, but from where I'm going to get the strength? How is this going to happen if I don't have any strength? I don't have any fuel in my pocket. How is this going to happen? And it's amazing to see through all these years that actually magic exists. I lost the count of how many times I would be just like crying like crazy, saying, I cannot keep going. This is too much. My friends don't understand me. My mom. It's like, if you feel this, do this, but my brother, you know, school, really bad kind of notes, results. All day looking through the window, just writing poetry. Everything was a mess. From where I'm going to take the strength? How is this going to happen? I'm supposed to live fully, and I don't even know how to pass this month. This thing which is called the fire of the heart. This possibility of turning in and knowing that there is no way back. And also this possibility of feeling the joy of this gift that is called life and not wanting to waste it. So that I was writing, and one thing I wrote was, I'm going to find out what death is when I was like 13 years old. And then this, it was a woman that was reading some of these writings, a friend of mine, older. And she was really helping me and really in touch with me in all the process that was going on. But in this one line, she looked at me and she said, "You cannot find out this." And I said, "I'm going to find out this, no matter what." She said, "You can find out about everything, but you cannot find out about this." And I said, "Give me my writings back. I'm going to find out about this." And I left. So this kind of fire, that it manifests in many, many different ways in all of us, this sense of, without this, I cannot live. What is this without which I cannot live? What is this for you? Like, what is this for each of us? This is very, very important. And that without which you cannot live, this is our call. Our path. This also asks us for a lot of continuity. And it asks us in many moments to keep on going even though we don't see results. And it feels that this is most of the time. I don't like to use the pressure cooker, because I cannot touch and see the chickpeas. I don't know if they are done or not. That makes me nervous. I just prefer to cook without the pressure thing, like slowly, 3-4 hours, who cares? But I can see. Whenever I want, I can go there and know, touch, I pick one up, then touch, you know. It's done, it's not done. I taste. But but in life, seems like many, many times we are cooking with pressure cooker, you know. With meaning like that we cannot see what's going on. We don't see the softening of the chickpea. In this case, we don't see it. We have to wait enough till it pops up, and then we open that, and the chickpea is ready. So many, many times we work and work, and we like to get desperate because nothing is changing, nothing is happening. I got 7 days here. Now 5 days here, and nothing is happening. You don't know how much work is waiting for me at home. I left everything behind. How is it possible that I'm losing my time in this way? And you keep on saying it. Lose your time. Yes. Lose your time. Let the chickpeas cook slowly behind the scenes. We don't notice it. We cannot eat them right now. It will be painful in our belly. But they are cooking. You can hear. Huh? I love hummus. So like it's as if life asks us to master patience. Touch with something that is like in another speed. We can see a car moving, but we cannot see the earth moving around the sun. And we all know that we are moving, and so fast. Every time they tell me the speed, I get kind of scared. Kind of. So this is the same. So to tune into this possibility, to let the chickpeas cook, to let us be moved without result in our hands. We cannot touch it, we cannot see it, we cannot taste it. But we know, something in us knows that it's worth. We cannot put into paper everything that we discovered these days. But we feel that there is some value in that. Even if it's only to see the light coming through. Even if it's only to see the moon at night. If we have one moment of clear seeing, that is enough. In tradition, they say, one moment of clear seeing erases many, many, many things from the past. The importance of being alive with life, letting the process cook and be as a process. We are slow, and also we have been learning many, many things that have been building up. So there is a lot to, let's say, dissolve, let's say. Many things that we know, many things that we are aware of, and many things that we don't know, and many things that we are not aware of. But they are there, and they need to get soft. The importance of living our own path, or experiencing our own life. And when I say experiencing our own life, that means also automatically allowing ourselves to go through all the mistakes that we have to go. They are mistakes. They are our teachers. We have moments of peace. And then something happens and we get angry. And we get more angry because we get angry. And it goes far and far and far this way. So we are going to get angry many times. We are going to get upset, feel left out. Promise that this is not going to happen ever again after this retreat. But how to live with all of this? This angerness to be even expressed. So what? How the patterns come back and be the young kind of brother or sister that needs to say the opinion. that there is a way of letting all this to soften, letting all this to go away by itself somehow. And it's very difficult for us to trust that. We want to shut up this brother that is shouting, this girl in us, you know, that has to express that, that gets angry. But how to be with that? How to let this express again and again and let it get tired of itself? See, the children sometimes when they get really upset, they cry and scream and cry and scream and cry and scream amazingly loudly, and then somehow they fall asleep. And it's really like a mystery. It's like, wait a second, you were really upset. But if we don't let this child scream and, you know, and cry, scream and cry, and we try to fix it, we can get into a worse, like a war with the child. And sometimes just let it scream and cry. It won't last long. It will become quiet by itself. Will get tired of himself, just hearing himself the whole time. It will get tired. But this is a little the same. When we feel, when we are aware that we get angry, and then again and again and again and again, there is a moment where it's just tired of that. So it feels that there is a huge possibility there. Instead of trying to fix everything that we understand that is wrong, just allowing it to be. Why not? Of course, we will not come across as the perfect person in the world, but who cares? Who cares? Just be yourself. Just scream if you need to scream. Allowing this so-called mistakes to be our teachers, to be with us in our lives, fully. Not like, okay, I let you come, but 5 minutes. Just come, you know, I'm going to make mistakes. And it's so beautiful if we choose to be ourselves, to be authentic, if we choose to say yes to life. It feels that it's much worse to say yes to life than getting stuck with, oh my God, but saying yes to life means 100 mistakes per day. Just letting this life just flow like a river. You know, and sometimes there are big curves, and sometimes the river carries a lot of shit, you know, a lot of things. And goes like this, and sometimes it goes fast, and sometimes it's just so quiet that we cannot even see the movement of the water. So like this, just allowing our life to be and to take the rhythm that it wants to take with this connected effort. This is our own business, it seems like. Just again and again to come back to this connected effort or to this fire of the heart that will take us all the way without doubt. If we only do this, be in touch with this fire of the heart, this doesn't know how to stop, and this cannot be stuck. It just keeps flowing and flowing. There is no other way but the fulfillment, but life in capital letters. Every day be different, and every prayer be different. Ready of each day's prayer to happen, allowing this quality to take its own color and shape every day. Sowing it through the days. Seeing it be different and at the same time connected to the same intention, to the same willingness. It's possible just sitting or lying down for a few minutes in silence. A few minutes letting life love us. Love us. May all winds find the connected effort so that we all can flower here and everywhere.